Ho, ho, ho. Now I got the machine gun. Walsh, filling in for Double R. Thank you, amigo. Always riding shotgun with me, buddy.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.
Did you see that shit, Rob Ryan?
I did. Oh, yeah. I was watching last night, right? Because right around the same time, they came out and they said that the guy that they initially had from the Brown University shooting was not the guy, right? And they released him. And they released him. So that all that Rob Reiner news came out right around. And again, this is around the time Sunday Night Football is ending. So, you know, everything kind of just rolled in. So I remember we were talking last time about the YouTube TV and not being able to get the channels that I want in the multi-view. Right. Oh, I'm thriving, Wags. I'm thriving. Thriving.
My guy, what made you do the upgrade here?
Oh, NFL, without a doubt. Like we
the little soiree about or not soiree, but like the little, you know, conundrum that they were having between, you know,
even
ESPN and YouTube TV, that didn't throw you off a bit?
No, I mean, listen,
I did a sling for like a month. Like I had a sling alt account for like a month just to see like the Longhorn games or whatever else.
Yeah, the way I looked at it, I said, listen, if I miss 6 hours of get up every morning and the Jimmy Kimmel show, then I think I'm going to be okay, right? Like there were a couple football games on there that you couldn't, but yeah, so this is the whole thing. Like a friend's nephew, little 10-year-old kid, he's cracking these Fire Sticks already. So we got like every single sports event from around the world, cricket in India, Russian ping pong, you name it, right? And we were able to kind of use that, right? It's a little upsetting with the lag and whatnot, but we were able to use that for a couple games because I think it was like the Eagles-Packers Monday night game. I think it was like Alabama-Oklahoma, something along those lines. But there were a couple games in there where we just put it on the stick. But, yeah, I mean, I can't watch TV anymore with just one thing on the TV. I need at least two pictures on my screen now.
I had all eight games going for the noon slate yesterday.
Me too.
You have two TVs, right? And then you have the YouTube TV that does, you know, four boxes. It's fantastic. You get to see every damn game.
Yeah,
I get pissed off when they do like the NFL early games or whatever, where you got to get up at like 7 a.m. It takes one of the games off the boxes, right? So now you don't have an even box.
Yeah,
I think Red Zone up there. Like, I like Red Zone, but I don't want to watch Red Zone if I don't have to.
I'm pretty sure that the NFL worked in unison with YouTube TV because yesterday there were a perfect eight games where you could do the two TVs with the 4x4. Right. And it hasn't been more than eight in any 1 o'clock window yet. So now all the teams are done with their bye weeks. Now we're getting full slates. But here comes this next slate. Right. We got three games on Saturday. We got Seahawks Rams on Thursday.
Yeah, we're getting into the split where you're going Saturday and Sundays now. So
they're breaking up my touchdown parlays too, right? Like I like to have a nice solid chunk of game. I mean, it didn't help me yesterday, but I need a nice little chunk of games to select from. That way we can build the best out. But yeah, what a slate of games yesterday. Holy crap, man.
We'll break those down and get into those in just a minute. But yeah, welcome into another edition of Chaos Theory for all you guys out there that are, you know, watching wherever you're at, all across our fair burg and all across the globe here. That is Walsh. This is Wags. And strap in as we take you on a nice little journey of the Chaos Theory show here. You can hit him up on Twitter. He's at 14a.walsh. Again, that's 14a as in an exit, dot Walsh. That's exactly what it was. It was an exit. You take exit 14 to get to the studio of where Walsh was talking radio at the time, man. You can find me on Twitter, not the fake Wags. And then also on InstaFace, he's at 14a.walsh as well. I'm at the Wagner Wire. Smash that subscribe button if you hadn't done so already. Hit us up on the Coda text line, 512-222-9328. A lot of lottery numbers there. 512-222-9328. All right, yeah, Walsh, real quick, man. Rob Reiner, 78 years old, found alongside his wife, Michelle, found by their daughter, right? Or Rob's daughter. I don't know. I can't confirm if it's actually Michelle's daughter or not. It's a split marriage or whatever. So Rob Reiner, 78, wife, Michelle, found main suspect is the son. At this point,
this
is the dude that made like the Princess Bride. He worked with God, who's the worked with Aaron Sorkin? Worked with Sorkin on A Few Good Men too. Like, there's multiple, you know, he's known for all kinds of movies, mainly in the, you know, in the damn 80s or whatever. Spinal Tap, and they were getting ready to do another ending of Spinal Tap, or something like ending of Spinal Tap, where they were going to put the fake band back together.
Crazy. Yeah. My girlfriend and I were just watching Wolf of Wall Street the other day, and he's Leo DiCaprio's father in that. Mm-hmm. Plays a phenomenal role there. What is he, the CFO or the money guy or whatever? But just crazy sad, man. I mean, not only this story, just the entire weekend had a lot of just grim stuff going on. So, you know, it's a big story, but, you know, not to
Jerome.
You
know, yeah, I mean, Jerome Moore, that's kind of what we were led with, right?
Like, yeah, not to just gloss over it. Just the last few days, man, it's just been pretty nuts. You know, and, you know, of course, right, society going downhill, but the reporting of all this stuff is just trash. You know, like, I have never seen more things reported correctly than I have over the last few days.
Everybody wants to be the first one, right?
Yeah, that is absolutely the thing, right? Like, I understand that, right? But, you know, as a journalism major, you know, that's really what gets me by the gall, you know? Like, I absolutely hate it. I was searching for stuff with the Brand University thing all day yesterday, right? And it's like this one particular guy pops out, and I had to block him because it's like, damn, like, every single thing you have reported on this Brown University story has been untrue, you know? And it's like, it's very dangerous too, because not only that, right? You get the news that first goes out there, and then it's like, all right, well, people read that. Then everybody
just takes the low hanging fruit and runs with it because they don't want to do their own due diligence.
They pick it up. Then it's, you know, then that's their thoughts. And it's like, damn, man, like, can we just take a minute? And listen, I always like being one of the first people to realize something or point it out to the masses. But I mean, I'm just realizing, like, damn, it is more important than ever to just chill just for a minute.
Just be consistently, you know, a go-to piece, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sucks, man. Again, like Princess Bride, one of my coming of age movies as a kid. I mean, Wesley, how do you not like the story of Wesley and the Dred Scott, the Dred Pirate Roberts? So, yeah, man, it sucks. Just absolutely sucks. And that's where, I don't know if you watched Homegrown, or not Homegrown, but Homeland.
Hell yeah, man. One of my favorite shows of all time.
With Sal. Like, Sal is Enrico Montoya, or I am Enrico Montoya. You killed my father. Yeah. Prepare to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. All right. That's enough on Rob Reiner. Yeah, back to the NFL slate, though, man. Absolutely. Well, I guess before we get to the slate, Fernando Mendoza, you cool with that, winning the Heisman?
Yeah, definitely. I wrote a story about him. You can check it out, playboy.com. But
Rodney, you know, Rodney tried checking it out, double R, but he got stuck on the illustration. Like, he wasn't able to get to the art. He was asking if he had any pop-up articles.
Yeah. Those are coming in the offseason for football. But no, I wrote a story about Mendoza a couple of weeks ago, and it was pretty cool. I didn't even realize it, but his brother was already at Indiana. So one of the, like, main, selling points of the article, it's like, you know, it's not Fernando that's all that popular on campus. Like, his brother's got to be pretty damn popular getting him there, too. So the Mendoza's, only undefeated team. Right in the major college football this season. So, of course, first
player for Indiana to win the Heisman too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're just breaking records. I think he was the only Indiana quarterback to throw for 30 touchdowns, right? Like,
did Randall Hill not do that?
I guess not. Yeah,
phenomenal season. Phenomenal season for Mendoza there. 33 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, just fantastic. The rating finished with a rating of 151.4, man. Now, again, wasn't a top quarterback in terms of stats wise, but I mean, the dude put his team in a position to take down, you know, the defending champs, Ohio State, and the Big Ten. We'll see if they can, you know, make a push to, they're the number one seed going into the playoff here, so we'll see if they can actually make this thing happen and turn it into a national championship. But a hell of a story. You like to see it. I think towards the middle of the season, he really started, you know, popping the eyebrows off of people and then just making people, you know, make them put you away or make them think that you're not the guy, right? Like, you know, make them feel like, prove them wrong, make them feel like you have to prove them wrong or whatever. And he did. He shut a lot of the naysayers up, dude.
Yeah. So two things. One, Indiana did have a very easy schedule, right? Like,
they struggled with Penn State, right? Towards the latter portion of the season.
You know, and listen, I don't want to take on something like, right? Like, you went undefeated in a Big Ten schedule. They won at Oregon and they beat the undefeated Ohio State team. So let's not totally poo-poo his name. But I think that schedule certainly helped them. And if I'm not mistaken, the bracket will give them the winner of Alabama, Oklahoma. And, you know, both teams pretty damn good on defense, right? So I think that'll be a very good matchup to see there in the second round. But I was looking at some stuff with Mendoza from when I was doing that story, but very, very smart kid. Like, pretty, I think he's like going for his master's or something in business, but very, very good business mind, very intelligent. I think a lot of people are saying that he's probably going to be the first quarterback taken overall.
And I would think so, right? He's got the frame too, doesn't he?
Not much of an argument, right?
Right. Yeah. He's got the size. He's got the frame for a prototype quarterback. My comp, I kind of give him a Daniel Jones comp. Is that a little off? Am I a little off with that?
I think that's fair. And you know what? I was actually trying to do my comparison here in this guy. I don't think I really have one yet, to be quite honest with you, because I mean, I would like to see more of those games against Oregon, more of those games against Ohio State. And I know he did well when he was at Cal, right? But wasn't necessarily on the radar. And look, you know how many programs there are out there in college, like 130 something, right? So it's tough to see all these guys play live in season, especially when we got NFL the next day. But I mean, look, you know, I think the resume speaks for itself this year. Him coming into Brandon's situation and it's really leading this team. I think it speaks well. But again, I do think that we're gonna, you know, we're really gonna see who this kid is during the playoff, because you know, you can make that argument if you're Ohio State, right? Like, they still got a bye, right? Like, there's a pretty good chance that they might meet Indiana in the national championship, right? Did you want to give away, you know, all your tricks in that game? Ohio State's kicker missed a pretty easy kick that would have tied the game. A lot of different things there, but I'm just looking forward to seeing him against one of these SEC teams.
I don't know if you caught, you know, any of the shows last week, but we kind of predicted like the way that the playoff will roll out. Oregon has the easiest route, in my opinion.
Speaking of a team with an easy schedule, I remember you and I talking about that on this show.
Yeah.
Like months ago,
right? With Oregon being able to just have their way and be able to kind of cruise and get into the playoff without even playing any type of stalwart at all. Very easy schedule. A lot of teams or a lot of pundits are saying that about the Big Ten. We got some breaking news, Walsh. DJ Lagway. This comes from Pete Themel. DJ Lagway has entered the portal and is leaving Gainesville. Ooh. Where will DJ go?
Come on to Rutgers, son. Let's go. We need you. We need you.
My goodness. Lane Kiffin was trying to, I wouldn't say poach him, but he was having a lengthy conversation when LSU and Florida were, you know, shaking hands after the game. I'm not saying that he might have been trying to lure DJ Lagway over to LSU, but LSU is a fun little spot, or it could be a nice little spot where DJ Lagway could end up. Lagway to Indiana. He's going to fill in with Cignetti.
Interesting.
Is that, I mean, I don't know if that's producer Jake just brought that up. Nobody has confirmed that at this point, but still, DJ Lagway, one of the most highly touted quarterbacks in the national college landscape right now, heading out of Florida, man. We'll keep an eye on that and let's see where he goes. But yeah, man, back to the NFL. Let's go to Monday morning quarterback time. Walsh, let's react to this Sunday slate, buddy. How, first off, are your pockets full or are they empty? Did you make any friends yesterday? Did you become Uncle Walsh?
Yesterday, I did not. I had some pretty treacherous losses yesterday. Kansas City was one, right? The line just seemed sus to me all freaking week. And then, you know, Mahomes there at the end was trying to lead the comeback. I mean, there were a lot of like weird bounces in that game. There was a play at Mahomes through the interception. Like I needed a Kareem Hunt touchdown to complete a couple touchdown parlays. That did not happen. But, you know, that the one play where Mahomes got picked off there, I believe that was in the fourth quarter, but he was trying to go to Hunt. You know, like it was a broken play. He just threw it up. A little bit
of a dump down, see what you can get.
Yeah, got well towards the end zone. I mean, he chucked it up there, like basically throwing a one-on-one ball for Kareem Hunt.
Oh yeah, no, I remember what you're talking about.
I mean, that's points that are off the board, right? Minshew comes in late after Mahomes gets injured, which is a whole nother story in itself. But you know, Minshew comes in there. It looked like he couldn't even grip the football yesterday when he was throwing. Like he was throwing very, not Hail Mary passes, very Mary-like passes yesterday. So that's certainly something to watch going forward. I mean, I know the Chiefs are out, but you know, we're still going to be betting on these games. If I'm not mistaken.
Finally, we can finally say the Chiefs have officially been ruled out.
Right? Yeah. I would rather have Mahomes in the playoffs, right? And again, I'm an NFC guy. Brand. Yeah, like
I know the NFL Referee Association, you know, pretty much sucks him off, but I mean, I still think, you know, the best competition in, or the best quarterback play rather in the playoff is the best, or honestly, it's the best teams. Real quick, Bear chimes in on the chat channel here. TSU chat poll, which is the most surprising college football story? Put yourself back in August. Sherome in jail, Indiana top team, and then they also have the Heisman. Belichick 4-8 and not in a bowl game. I kind of saw that one happening, honestly. Yeah. Notre Dame not in a bowl game. Clearly Sherome more in jail. Like that is the craziest story of the college football.
It's not so much, right. Like jail was because of the actions. I feel the actions are like,
yeah, the actions are kind of common these days, right?
Showing up to the side piece's house, threatening to kill everybody. Like, I think that's the most shocking story of the college football season.
Man, when it rains, it pours, bro. When it rains,
it sure does. Like, yeah, I mean, listen, I guess we've all been in that situation.
It is not a laughing matter. I'm laughing because I rather weep, okay? I'm laughing because I'd rather cry about it.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I mean, just one mistake after another, right, kind of compounding onto it. But, yeah, I would say that's it. I mean, listen, I am a Notre Dame fan, right? So it absolutely sucks, right? Like, JMU, fine football team, they're just probably going to get boat raced against Oregon.
Right. That's what, like, that's another brand that Cignetti built. Like, Cignetti put his little footprint on that, or I guess his fingerprint or his thumbprint on James Madison. I'm not giving Cignetti, like, all the credit for it, but he's got to have a little bit of, you know, at least credit for planting the seed there. Now James Madison able to kind of roll on.
You know what's funny, right? Like we talk about, it's not even surprising, right? But the Lane Kiffin story even, right? It's not surprising because he has left so many different programs, but sure, just kind of the aftermath, right? Not coaching the team in their playoff game and, you know, the whole tug of war with who from his staff was going to LSU. That's another crazy story. I mean, again, it's not surprising. It's just, it's wild.
What a time to be alive. What a time to be coaching in college football, to where you're going to get sacked and you'll probably get your buyout and you'll just be rich for the rest of your life.
At this rate, I figure I can get a job somewhere, right?
Yeah, right. Like, we can get on some staff, huh?
D3 club flag football, Montclair State University.
You do that, I'll go up to Lycoming, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I got a couple plays I've been working on Madden, so I'm ready to unleash them on the public.
Offense coordinator Walsh and defense coordinator Wags. There we go. Oh, yeah. Walsh Wags, taking your D3 college by surprise here. Hey, we got commercials to get to here. We got to pay the bills, and then we'll come back and get to this NFL slate here. But first and foremost, you guys know the drill, right? We'd be remiss if we didn't tell you about the Kingdom of Chariots out there, just out of our Fairburg on 71. It's Covert Bee Cave. Here they are.
I don't have to worry about shopping for mechanics to make sure it's done and done right. I come up here, I'm in, I'm out. They give me a loaner sometimes, and it's hassle-free.
If you have any questions, they'll go ahead and help you out and educate you. They're not just here just to sell you a vehicle. They're here to build a relationship.
They treat you like family, and then they make the experience what you want it to be, not what they want it to be.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Where you are always treated like family.
Absolutely. Always treated like family. Another person that treats you like family is our guy, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your personal go-to injury attorney right here in our Fairburg of Austin, Texas. If you have any personal injury at all, just give our guy, Ryan, a call. 512-938-8929. Email Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. That's Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. He is aggressive in the courtroom, compassionate with clients. He knows what you're going through, and he's going to fight like hell to make it right. I've already told you that he's Austin-based. He's Texas proud. He dons that burnt orange suit in the courtroom. Make sure you ask him about it when you call today. Supporting local sports, local businesses, local families, and you when you dial this number, 512-938-8929. Again, that's 512-938-8929. That is Ryan Hecht Law Firm. And, of course, there is a holiday special that we got to talk about. It is Bah Humbug. I don't think it's out here. I'm looking for the Bah Humbug drop for Rodney Rodriguez. Don't see it in here. We're just going to play the AV Consultations one real quick. Good save.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
Absolutely. AV Consultations is the very best in the business to get it done for you. Just give them a call and their crew will be out there. 512-255-8678. Also, Humbug Holiday Lights. Be like Rodney. Hit up Holiday Lights, Humbug Holiday Lights before Thanksgiving, I guess. If you really want to be the first one in your neighborhood looking like Clark W. Griswold, don't be like me. All right, I tried to do it the old-fashioned way, save a little money, and try and do it traditionally. My house looks like shit. The only thing that's actually upright is the Grinch Christmas thing, right, that says naughty or nice. I got half my lights out on the tree. That's on one tree, and then the other column tree, that's got a full lit-up stuff. My reef has fallen off. It's the Charlie Brown Christmas over here at Wax's house. I should have opted in for a holiday humbug lighting or humbug holiday lighting. Unfortunately, you're gonna have to give Rodney a call for that one there. But look them up. It's not too late. You're still around the corner there for Christmas. You could probably have the best setup for New Year's at this point. But give them a call, man. It's Humbug Holiday Lighting. And also our guys over there at McCall Homes, man. Make sure you guys hit up our guy Mike over there at McCall Homes. All right, Walsh, where do you want to go?
I just want to say what a great Audiovisual Consultations ad that was. That was phenomenal.
Nothing but the best from Tom McKay, man. The go-to audiovisual guy, but also he can hit you with the promos as well. Put him in WWE, folks.
If he, because typically when you do ads, you got to write a script, right? Like I did that for Caesars for the radio ads all the time, but also whoever wrote that ad deserves a raise. And if Tom did it, then geez, I mean, greatest business owner doing, producing the goods and services as well as the marketing apparatus. I mean, This is phenomenal stuff.
That's what he does. He's a creator, right? He's a creator, and that's what Tom does. Sure it was either his kid or that was him writing it. But yeah, Fal, let's get you on the NFL slate here. Let's tie this bad boy off. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. NFL slate kicked off this week on Thursday. You weren't on the show, but I'd love to hear your thoughts because the Bucks are your NFL team, right? And they struggled against the Falcons here, where Falcons were eliminated last week, and or yeah, 2 weeks ago rather, but still they showed up for their check and kicked some ass on Thursday night.
Yeah, so that loss was back-to-back home losses against the two division opponents that are out of the playoff race, the Saints and the Falcons. So I think this kind of is the writing on the wall for Todd Bowles. Doesn't matter what they do the rest of the season, they have to go elsewhere, right? Because, you know, I was talking about this, Gerald McCoy, you know, who all you Texas fans love so much, the former Oklahoma Sooner, he had a great, you know, tweet, and he like had a video that followed it up. And it's like, you know, you can't put all this on the coach, right? You do have to put it on the players. And while that's all fair, you know, look how many, right? The Bucks even made this similar sort of move 2 decades ago, right? When they went from Tony Dungy to John Gruden. Right. They even gave up a whole bunch of picks in the process. Right. But, you know, and the one that I always liken it to is the Golden State Warriors. They had a really good thing going with Mark Jackson. And then, you know, him getting fired was very surprising to a lot of people. They bring in Steve Kerr and they're a generational franchise now after that. So I'm not saying that the Buccaneers are going to be the next Golden State Warriors with a new head coach, but sometimes a different message is what you need, right? Like a different point of motivation, whatever that case is, but
or just a different ideology in the locker room, right?
Of course. And you know, I think the way that you're going to start seeing a lot more teams go is with the offensive minded coaches, right? Because
that's what I was going to ask you. What Joe Brady's probably got to be one of the head guys out there. Would you like to see Joe Brady, big offensive guru, come in?
Unfortunately, the guy I wanted is now the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Like we had him. They could have offered him the job, you know, at the beginning of this season or in the offseason, whatever, right? Could have had that, but no, we had to go with Bowles again. And look, I think Bowles is a good coach, right? He's a very good coach. I just don't think he's the guy that's going to get you over the top. Nothing against him. It's just this league is so offensively driven now. And like, let's not make any mistake about it too. The Buccaneers have been injured pretty much the entire season, right? Like, everything.
Yeah, they just got Evans back too, right?
Great. Yes. Yeah. I mean, this last game was one of their latest, right? But like offensive line play, you know, was suffered because of injuries. So, you know, look, but I don't see the Bucs going far. Maybe they get that, you know, they win the division. And thank you to the Saints yesterday. So that's back-to-back weeks for them knocking off the Bucs and the Panthers as well. But you know, I just think you're going to see, you know, Bucks looking for another coach this year, and you know who that will be. I'm not even there yet, right? Just
you say offense. I would think maybe Joe. Like, I don't see Joe Brady sitting in the offense coordinator position that much longer, right? I foresee him. I would love to have him as a Giants fan, but it's funny. Because you said, like, all head coaches should be geared around offense because the league is geared around offense, right? I think the Giants have pieces there in play for their offense. I think their defense is in play the most, but that's the stuff that needs the work on, right? I would like to see Spagnuolo kind of get split up from – I think everybody in the league would like to see Spagnuolo and Andy Reid split up, right? But personally, I would like to have Spagnuolo, defensive-minded coach, come to the Giants and be the head coach there. Countering to an offensive mindset. Am I off on that?
No, definitely. And listen, you know, like you do kind of have to play with the personnel, right? So
yeah, exactly. And that too, whoever, right? Whatever your personnel dictates, correct?
Whoever the Giants new head coaches, right? I don't think they're going to stay with Kafka, but they go elsewhere. Just think about it, right? Like you've got a nucleus to begin with of Jaxson Dart, Cam Scataboo, Malik Nabers. Like that's a dream come true.
And then on the other side, you can build around Brian Burns, right?
Yeah, I mean, Burns, not Brian Burns. Abdul Carter. You know, like, these are guys that are going to make these impacts. I don't know. For me, right, just covering the sport day by day, like, I haven't really dug into yet who a possible replacement could be. But, you know, like, I'm just thinking about in terms of who the Bucks have hired under the Glazers, right? Like, I mean, they were, right? It was Gruden. I mean, you had, like, a Greg Schiano, right? Like, Todd Bowles. It feels like they always have the safe play, right? Like, I know that they went with Raheem Morris for 2 years. That was an absolute disaster. But, I mean, I would like to see them put some thought into this, obviously, as a fan, because, you know, there are some interesting decisions to make, right? Like, Evans had always been, you know, your beacon of playing 16, 17 games a year. Right. He got hurt this year. You know, Godwin's always got his injury history. Like, pretty, you know, pretty interesting. Egbuka kind of fell off here at the, by the way, him dropping.
Yeah, what happened? What went on with that? Is just a disconnect with Baker or trust issues or just.
I mean, the offensive line certainly didn't help, right? Like, the like they played a couple weather, like the Buffalo game, right? Wasn't the greatest weather, huge winds whipping around. So not good for the passing offense. The game against New Orleans, right? He dropped a touchdown in the end zone that he normally would have had on a sunny day, but it was raining. So
just in case the yips.
But well, the other thing too, right? He's a rookie and we're in the second half now. So, you know, it's just possible that, yeah, you know, his body isn't ready for this time of the year, right? He better get ready, right? We need your body. But I don't know. The teams, I would like a reset on the whole year, basically.
I said build around Brian Burns on a defense, but I still think it's Thibodeau's team. Like Burns is fantastic. He's the guy that's in the headlines with all the sack leaders, but I guess it's like the Giants residential homer here. I kind of feel like it's still KT's team. Instead of, I know Burns is the stalwart, but I still feel like it's KT. KT's the defensive, the anchor there for us. All right.
I was going to say, speaking of coaching situations, right? So now that we know that Mahomes has the torn ACL, right? Probably going to miss some time next year, depending on how that all goes. Andy Reid not getting any younger, right? Is it possible that this off, like Travis Kelce is probably retiring at the end of the year? Is it done? Is this the end?
I don't know. Do you think they all walk away after? I guess this would be their best time to do it, right?
But it would be an interesting time to do it.
Me that wants to go out on top, right? Like I don't want to have the championships right there and be like, all right, we're, you know, this thing's over with, so now we're all going to walk away from it. F that. Let's go out and let's try and at least get back to the championship game. If you can't capture it and bring it home, that's one thing. But at least you can build to get your team back up to peak. And then kind of say, all right, you know, we gave it our last hurrah. We weren't able to do it. But when you go, when you leave on the bottom, it just sends a real shitty taste in my mouth, man. You know,
well,
it's like you got nowhere else to go. So you're copping out because you don't want to build it back up or you don't want to try to build it back up. I just feel like that's kind of a weak mindset.
I guess so, right? Like, I think you and I have that. But, you know, for the Chiefs who, what, they've been to how many AFC championships in a row?
Four in the last 5 years or some shit like that. So.
That's a lot of extra bruising on the body. That's a lot of hits to the head. Like, that's just a lot of wear and tear on the body. So, I mean, just based on their playoff games the last 5-6 years, it feels like they've played an extra season over, you know.
No, that's a good point, too. They got a lot of miles on their wheels, you know, logged in for this postseason play.
And they have done a lot, right? Like, they are a generational franchise, right? Like,
I would say that they're the Warriors of the NFL, right?
Yeah, like when you had Tyreek Hill in that offense, I mean, they're just unstoppable, right?
And the Patriots was the last organization to do something like this in the free agent era. Right. And the Chiefs are still able to kind of, I, I can't say nobody can reciprocate what the Patriots did, like the dynasty. But I mean, you kind of have to put like the Chiefs in their own little category too, right? Of just the amount of success they had, or the dominant amount of success that they've had in the core nucleus of years that they've done it, right? We just mentioned 4 out of the last 5 years. I think the Pats were there, but they also, there was a little bit of a gap too, right? Like Brady went on, he won in his first, rookie season, and then, or I think that was Brady's rookie season.
No, they had, what was it, three early? I thought they had 3, right? They beat the Rams, the Panthers, and the Eagles pretty early on, and then they lost the 2 to the Giants.
Yeah, I think my memory sucks too, but I think you're right. I thought Brady came in and spelled for Drew Bledsoe there and got his Super Bowl very early. Rob Cattell as hell. Rob's the Brady was second year. Gotcha. All right, thank you.
Yeah, they got 3.
Had the comments years. Turned off, guys. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, no, I had, yeah, and then they beat the Seahawks in 15, the Falcons in 17, and the Rams. So, by the way, I wrote a story last week. Did you know that, so since 2019, either the Chiefs or the Rams have been in every Super Bowl over that span?
I mean, that's on point. That kind of masks up, right?
Yeah.
Just the dominance between that. And you mentioned it, it's ran by offensive gurus, right? With McVay there, and then Andy Reid on the other side there. We keep saying that, but we got to talk about the defense though, because both of those teams have good defenses, right? Especially now with the Rams. The Rams got a young, solid defense. Yeah. Too, so
the one thing that I have definitely, right, like if you're able to stop the run, I think, and that definitely translates to the playoffs, right? Because in January,
the weather.
Yeah. You are absolutely trying to pound that rock in January. So I feel like, again, like the Patriots have been phenomenal against the run all season until, like yesterday they got gashed on the ground.
Dude, they were up 21-0. I feel, Rob, my apologies too, man. I might have put the curse. It's 21-0, Washington. I sit there and say, Rob, man, you guys are looking dominant. Rob chimes back, I don't like the way our defense is just allowing gouges and gashes. I look up and then all of a sudden here comes the Bills again, man. Second half was all Bills, bro.
Yeah, no, that was a phenomenal game. I was on the Bills side of things, right? But I mean, I had a lot of stuff I was sweating out, so I couldn't even hang on to one thing. It's funny how you like on a 1 o'clock slate with 8 games, you're just like, all right, you just let nature take its course throughout the first half. Like I've tried to learn to do this year because I don't know, like this is the first year that I've really like sat home and watched the games. Typically I'd be out like at the local tavern, watching all the games. I'm spinning around in circles to make sure I got every game. Now I got all that shit right in front of my face. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's
changing. And I'm not drinking, so I can remember it all.
Right, exactly. It changes the game, man. It absolutely changes the game. And that's like, I'm not trying to be a homebody that much or anything, but it's very hard to leave when you have a good setup, right?
Oh my God, hell yeah!
It's just, why in the hell do I want to put myself out there with the public? And, where I can't hear any damn game at all, or I can't even focus in, or I got to have questions. People just ask me questions while I'm trying to watch the damn game.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's funny. React to our Sunday there. Ravens putting the Bengals out of their misery, 24-0, shellacking them. How you feel about this?
Another game.
Are the Ravens for real? Are the Ravens going to make this postseason play?
I don't know. I still got questions about their offense. I don't know what's going on. I mean, Derrick Henry's old, right? He had some pretty good runs. Granted, it was against one of the, a top or a bottom 5 run defense in the NFL. I don't know. Like, 24 points yesterday, 7 of those coming from that very bizarre pick 6 sort of handoff touchdown. So I don't know. Like, I feel like they should have did more. I know that the weather sucked. It was like 7 degrees in
Cincinnati. The wind was crazy too. So
yeah, So, and like Joe Burrow had a couple throws yesterday where you were just like, what the hell? You like the the one on the that they got a defensive touchdown. I know it was on fourth down, but it was like, all right, man. Like, you could have definitely did something else besides that. But, you know, you got to think too, Cincinnati, they got frustrated early with Baltimore, right? And, you know, officially their season is over, being out of the playoff race as of yesterday. But you can't imagine that this team really thought that they were going anywhere. Like, their odds to win the
climb, right? The climb the hill, or the hill climb was just so damn
drastic
just to get back to where they're at.
Because I don't really have all that much faith in the Steelers, right? And the Ravens let the Steelers walk into Baltimore a couple of weeks ago and just put it on them, right? Like, yeah, you had that play with Isaiah Likely at the end. But, I mean, the Steelers came out. I mean, in a game like that, in a divisional home game for the division lead, you have to put some type of fear into your opponent. Like, I don't know if that even matters in a Steelers-Ravens game, right? Like, these two teams would just run into a brick wall against each other if they could. I mean, the Steelers just came in there and, like, they had all the swagger in the game. They had all, you know, the nice plays and everything. I don't know what's going on with Baltimore, man, because
it's funny you bring that up. Like, they're not going to be able to hit their full stride if Lamar is reluctant to run. Okay. Yeah. And that's his superpower. We know that he's, you know, brought his game up to where he's able to be precise in the pocket, but still, like, nobody is fearing that. Like, everybody can sit back, you know, sit eight back in a cloud coverage and say, all right, Lamar, find the window to, you know, to pick us apart, and they'll just rush three here, right? What gives him that superpower is when the play breaks down and he's just like, oh, look at this opening right here. I can get 80 yards real quick. Yeah. I'll see you. Then he turns it on.
I had him in a couple
right now. He's reluctant to run. So he ran a little bit yesterday, but he slid and got down pretty quickly.
I had him in a couple touchdown parlays yesterday because he had a really funny quote during the week where one of the reporters was like, you know, you only have like one rushing touchdown, and I think it was for the season or whatever. And he was like, really? He's like, damn, I got to start running more then, I guess. But like if he doesn't know it, I just wondered too, right? Because the Ravens had, you know, in previous seasons, they had all these expectations going into the playoffs. Maybe they're trying the reverse where they have zero expectations going into the playoffs and then they turn it up. Who knows?
Keep the payload a little bit light going in there. Now, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off. Right. Real quick, we'll jump over the rest of the slate and we'll go back to them as time kind of expires here. But Sunday Night Football, Vikings and Cowboys. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that. J.J. McCarthy, after a 31-0 performance against the Commanders, the Northern Vikings come in and lay waste to the Eastern. Wow, it's weird to say that. The Eastern Dallas Cowboys here that are located south in Texas. So, 34-26 was the score last night in Sunday Night Football. Dallas falling to the Vikings here. Purple People Eaters are, you know, they're going to be not for real at all this year, but are they going to be able to come up and sneak up on some teams next year with, I guess, the surging J.J. McCarthy?
Maybe. Now, here's the thing. I have a very weird relationship with J.J. McCarthy because I love the guy because everyone hates him and everyone hates on him, and I just want to see him do well. I was just telling this to my girlfriend yesterday. I said,
oh, I thought you guys actually had like a real relationship. You like played hockey with him.
I love the guy. Like, he sort of reminds me of like A-Rod. The guy can like save a burning building, or he could save a litter of puppies from a burning building.
And people still hate him.
And the sports reporters would report it as J.J. McCarthy let a building burn down.
No, this selfish guy wanted all these puppies for himself and let a building burn down because of it.
But, it's worth noting that these last two games that he had have come against two of the worst pass defenses in the NFL in Washington and Dallas, and they're both giving up, like, historic amounts.
And I feel like Washington's kind of in, like, I don't give a shit mode. I mean, they made it look spectacular and
right.
Hellacious against the Giants yesterday, but
that game against the Washington, God, they gave up like immediately. And then I don't know, man. Like, I want to see McCarthy do well because I think that in this offense, right, with Kevin O'Connell, I think anybody really can succeed, right? And you can see that McCarthy's got some mobility. He's got some tool. I know people don't like his throwing motion, but I absolutely hated Phillip Rivers' throwing motion. You know,
Phillip Rivers back on the getting a touchdown. He threw a pick too, but getting a touchdown to the dub for Phil Rivers.
Before I came on this morning, I wrote the article about him. So, I think McCarthy can do well. Again, these were two very, very, very positive matchups for him. So take that with a grain of salt. And listen, he gets another one. I guess Minnesota is filling out their AFC or their NFC East portion of the schedule, right? So Washington, Dallas, New York, and back-to-back-to-back weeks.
New York's going to lose, right? New York – yes. They know the story. They know what the score is. I feel like New York can beat Washington, and they allowed Washington to beat the shit out of them yesterday. So we all kind of know what the tail on the tape is there. So
yeah, we'll see what I know the game's at MetLife, so we got to see what the weather's like. We got some pretty nice snow Saturday into Sunday over here.
What's the inch forecast looking like up there? How many inches?
Well, we got it. It was all done yesterday by the time the game started, but it was like Saturday into Sunday overnight, but we got like 3 inches. It was pretty good.
It was 65 here the other day. Now it's like 40, or even sub 40 at this point. But yeah, it's, you know, I had the pool broke out and everything. I'm, you know, getting ready to think that people are going to be coming over and watching some football, and then all of a sudden it just shells up and gets rigged yesterday, dude.
As I like to say, everybody loves the show. Everybody loves the snow until it's time to shovel.
Right. Or when it's, you know, all the salt gets into it and it's not white and pretty anymore. It gets all that shit all mixed up into it, and then everybody's sliding around everywhere.
The worst part is that you got to take your shoes off at the door. I don't like taking my shoes off. No, I don't want anybody smelling my feet.
And they're going to get stanky. They're going to get rank. 3 inches is almost enough. some instances, three inches is all you're going to get. Huh? That's packing a punch. Yeah. 80, it'll be 80 in Austin for Christmas.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, we're not predicting that. We're just saying, you know, potentially it could be 80 in Austin for Christmas. I don't know what the 7-day forecast is going to be. I'm not your weather man. Go ask Trey Elling. Anyways, yeah, anything else on the slate? We still got to run down the rest of the NFL. We didn't really get out of all the games. I'm just kind of trying to fly by them until the guys get in here.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Rivers story was so cool. Like a grandfather playing quarterback in the NFL's most hostile road environment. You know, they nearly pull off the upset in that game. And, yeah, and look, Indy is still alive in the playoff. If I'm not mistaken, I think they still got the 7 seed or the 6 seed. But, you know, big game upcoming this week, Monday Night Football against the 49ers at home. That should be a lot of fun. New England. What a primetime schedule this week coming up. We got – So the Sunday, like the late afternoon game, Pittsburgh at Detroit, both teams still fighting for it.
I think Pittsburgh's done.
Sunday night football, you got Patriots at Ravens, and then Monday night football, you got Niners at Colts. Like, those are.
I think Ravens Patriots could be good. I think the Patriots are going to dominate the Ravens. I say that, but I mean, shit, they had the game in hand against Buffalo, and then Buffalo was just able to come roaring back. Well, it's not because of, you know, just an anomaly there. You got Josh Allen at the helm of it. So that's probably why they're able to come back. I said this last week, Walsh, they don't have any superstars on their offensive front that can just blow the doors off of people or blow the doors off the secondary. They're getting all their arsenal or all their aerial assault through tight end production.
Well,
we're checking it down to Cook.
We're talking New England or who, Buffalo?
Buffalo, yeah, Buffalo is.
No, I'm a huge fan of Buffalo's offense. I think it kind of, like, I don't know, just something about the way that Josh Allen, like, throws the ball, right? Like, Buffalo should be
like without a top end wide receiver. That's what I'm saying. Like they get all their productivity through tight ends.
Buffalo should be an environment where quarterback production goes to die. And you know, even that game against the Buccaneers, man, it was very windy that day. And this dude's just throwing lasers right through the wind. Like,
that's what I don't think people understand how strong his arm is to be able to.
Tom Brady was phenomenal throwing the football like in inclement weather, right? And I just wonder if he got a little tutelage from the GOAT. But yeah, it's pretty incredible, right? Because again, like Buffalo weather is gross. My girlfriend's family was in town this week from Buffalo, right? And it was snowing and all this other crap. And kids are walking around, no jacket, you know, like there's just a different type of weather. It's like Canada, basically, you know?
It's like Canada. It is Canada.
So I just think that's all the more impressive. And we've seen, right, last 2 weeks, Buffalo, they hung 35 in New England. Very cold day yesterday out there. And then, you know, we had the snow game there against the Bengals, right? Granted, they were gifted one from Joe Burrow,
sure,
which brought the score up a little bit there. But still, right, they still put up, what, like the offense put up 30-some-odd points. But I think we're seeing that, and I've been reading some stuff on this too, like in the snow, you know, rain and stuff like that. Like they're finding a way to get these mismatches and, you know, where it's harder for the defense. And I Buffalo – yeah, they've had some times this season where they've dropped some absolute duds, but I would not be surprised if we see a Buffalo Rams.
And that's a good point grand too, bro. Finale. Like it feels like this year Buffalo is more like the Chargers, where they just get in their own way,
mm-hmm.
right? Or at least that's kind of the trend, or that's kind of the mindset that
you know. And of course, they couldn't get in their own way against the Bucs. You know, like right.
Speaking of that, though, are you going to send Christmas gifts and Christmas presents to the Saints?
I think I might have to. It depends. My stepmother's a big Saints fan, so I might. I usually get her a bunch of wine for Christmas, so I might just like get a double order.
Those of you guys that don't know what we're talking about, Walsh is a huge Bucs fan there, and the Panthers failed to get the score done or failed to get the job done against the Saints, and so that's why Walsh might be sending some Christmas gifts to the Saints. Yeah. So yeah, keeping the Bucs season alive, big guy, keeping it alive.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we got – so this week – oh, geez. In addition to all those great games I was talking about, Bucks at the Panthers, both 7-7 for the NFC South. That's a 1 o'clock game. But we got that game, and then we play each other the last week of the regular season again. So this is crunch time, my friend.
So, Bear chimes in. Well, Wags, I asked you who to play for Week 16, Mahomes or Stafford. Question answered, unfortunately. And I went into this sitting here saying, what a great predicament to be in, right? You know, Mahomes kind of playing for his life and playing, you know, to keep the Chiefs alive. And then, you know, Matt Stafford able to kind of put this thing together. I hope I told you to take Stafford. I don't know. I don't know where you went, but damn, bro. Look, man, sometimes it's just not your day, right? Sometimes that's what you got to pin it up to, man. Oh man, but yeah, I'm still rolling. Thankfully, I'm still rolling in the playoffs, man. I got Jacoby Brissett leading me into the playoffs, Walsh. One year I did win it with who was the quarterback that backed up Matt Schaub
for
the Texans. I can't. The name's eluding me right now, but
Matt Schaub, jeez.
He was the backup quarterback for Matt Schaub when Matt Schaub was throwing to Andre Johnson. Sage Rosenfels. I had Sage Rosenfels.
Ah, former Redskin.
Actually, won the fantasy football with Sage Rosenfels.
That's crazy.
Honestly, you know, it was because of the stack between Sage Rosenfels and Andre Johnson.
Matty Schaub playing golf at the course I was working at over the summer.
Matt Schaub, huh?
Yeah.
He's not a offense coordinator at high school somewhere?
But no, I guess he was with the big finance guy, so I assume he's just, you know, ponying some money up.
Sure.
Looking to see a return on investment, you know?
Gotcha. What else you got going on? I think we would be remiss if we didn't say one more. Rams and Detroit, probably the best game or the highest action on the slate yesterday, 41-34. Amigo, what'd you feel about that?
Just kind of the Rams dominance. Like I was saying it yesterday to someone, that they just look like they're on like rookie level while everyone's playing on Madden level. Just how smooth they are on offense. Granted, they got the indoor atmosphere. They don't gotta worry about the weather, right? And it certainly behooves them to keep right. on winning, because you get that home field advantage with that offense. It's gonna be great. Now, big loss yesterday with Devontae Adams. He's been dealing with that hamstring injury. He says he's gonna try to go Thursday, but I don't see that happening. Whatever the case is, I mean, Puka Nacua has put back-to-back phenomenal performances together. And then, well, I needed a touchdown out of him yesterday, bastard. Anywho. But no, I guess the main takeaway from that, too, like,
you 50 points?
Well, oh, no, I'm just talking about, like, touchdown-wise.
Oh, God. Oh, you're talking about parlay. Gotcha.
Yeah, for my tummy parlay. He had,
like, one hell of a game last
night. Yeah, no. What the hell was the just the two-headed running back thing that they got going on with Kyren Williams,
Blake Corum? Who would have seen Corum this much of a beast, right?
Like, I mean, it's crazy, right? Because we've seen Blake Corum snaps before, and he hasn't looked this. The entire team looks explosive. I'm not going to say that they're all
no, but you're right, though. You're right about the description, and they're playing at a different speed. Like, it looks like they're out there on a different speed than everybody else.
I mean, Parkinson, the tight end, right? He had two yesterday. He's been coming up huge in recent weeks if you picked him up in fantasy. But, yeah, and again, we were talking about it earlier, right? Got to have a good run defense. I mean – the Rams have been the top defense against running backs in fantasy all season. They're not letting you get it done. But, I mean, you know, they held Gibbs in check very well yesterday.
Right.
St. Brown, kind of, on the other hand, St. Brown was my top. Like, he was in, like, every single touchdown parlay I had yesterday. So, good for him. But, yeah, that was a phenomenal matchup. And, you know, again, if you're going to – I guess what other teams can kind of take away from this is just continue to attack in the middle of the field on the Rams. That's typically where all of the production has come against in the season. So, hopefully, God, if the Bucs make it in the playoffs, they probably will have to make a trip out to Los Angeles at some point. But
hit me up if you do. Maybe you can get a tag along partner, and the wife will let me get out of here. Or something. Maybe, and we can go find some type of crazy ass Chinese restaurant in LA or something.
Ooh,
I'm sure. He is Al Walsh. You can find him on Twitter at 14a.walsh. One of the best in the business, writing for Playboy.com as well. Make sure you get up. Don't just look at the pop up pictures there. Okay, go and read his articles. You know, support literature. Al Walsh, thank you so much for having the conversation. I know you got to run, man. I got to run too. So hey, thanks. Maybe do this again tomorrow.
Possibly.
Hey, I like it. I'm sorry to put you on the spot right there, but that's the best time to get your answer.
Okay, you know I love coming on.
For sure. All right, brother. Hey, good talking to you, man. We'll see you hopefully tomorrow. All right, but if not, I'll give you a call. All right, brother. Be good, man. There he goes. Al Walsh, the very best in the business, the obligatory go-to. You can hit him up on Twitter at 14a.walsh and all other social media platforms. We go to our other obligatory go-tos. It is Jay Guns. It is Nick. Happy Monday, gentlemen.
How are we doing?
Doing fantastic.
It is December 15th, and the Cowboys' postseason hopes are officially not officially, but pretty much officially over.
We didn't even talk. So much to uncover yesterday. I didn't even talk about the Micah Parsons injury too. I mean, I know he's no longer on the Cowboys, but yeah, Matt Mahomes going down, Micah Parsons going down, and Phil Rivers returning to the NFL. Man, I'll hear your all's takeaways of the NFL and what else you guys got cooking on the slate.
Gonna talk some Texas football, college football. Notable portal entry this morning. DJ Will.
Yeah,
that's not in the portal yet, but
Lagway. Where is he going?
That's what we're gonna talk.
LSU? You
know? They need a quarterback. Texas Tech needs a quarterback.
Did you see the
Baylor's probably gonna hit him up and he probably won't pick up the phone? I wouldn't. But, you know, his dad played there. I know they've been prepping to make a push for a few weeks now, so maybe.
You know, You know who I could see potentially shoveling some cash? It's a little bit of an outside the box theory, but someone who's shoveling some cash behind a new head coach, Kentucky.
Nah, they got Cutter Bowley there. He's a hometown kid. I know he's from Kentucky. Pretty sure he's from Lexington. 2-year starter. Like, I mean, he's an upgrade over him, but one, can Kentucky afford him too? Can any of y'all name anyone on the Kentucky roster next year? Because I can't besides Cutter Bowley.
Nope. Barry and Brown coming back?
No, I think he's
gone. No, he played at LSU this year and is out.
Oh, he's not even there anymore.
Yeah. So
it's a bad
and loss. Kendrick Law is out of eligibility after this year. Or it might be another receiver. They had a portal receiver from Bama that played this year. I'm pretty sure it was Kendrick Law. But, yeah, I'm going to kind of just work through potential options. Talk some Texas high school football playoffs. Best time of the year. State championships of this week. So
after another 6-week enduring season of Texas postseason high school football, it's almost over.
Oh yeah.
It's like that scene from basketball. You know what I mean? Where it's, you know, another grueling season of basketball. Might be too old for you guys, but anyway.
Hey,
Have you guys not seen basketball?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You've never seen basketball?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, I got to
I've only seen like 4 movies in my entire life, okay. So don't ask
me. Check out it's the creators of South Park, all right? Okay. Trey Parker and Matt Stone, but they did a movie called Basketball, basically making a parody of sports movies. Okay. But it's hilarious, okay. It's great. It's got Victoria Silvestet and Yasmin Bleeth. You guys probably don't know them. They're probably grandmoms at this point, but anyways, y'all have a great one.
Did you check out those movies I suggested?
I did not. I got them written down. They're still right here, but we didn't watch any of them, man. I played a lot of Ark Raiders all weekend long, dude.
So, all good.
All right, boys. Yeah, check out basketball, please. Do yourself a service and check it out. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Get out of your all's hair. Have a great Monday.
See you, Wax.